You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Tomorrow marks the beginning of the 2020 season for the Michigan football team. That's right, tomorrow. At the time that we're recording this and that you are hearing this, it could be anywhere from just over a day to under 24 hours from the time that Michigan takes the field against Minnesota at TCF Bank Stadium in Minneapolis. Welcome to the Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire with the USA Today Sports Media Group. I will be on the ground in Minneapolis to cover the game, back home in somewhere near Detroit, near Ann Arbor, is the worst person that I have ever met in my entire life, and that is Brandon Justice. He's joining us every Friday now to discuss the upcoming game for the Michigan Wolverines. Brandon, why are you so terrible, and why did I agree to let you come on the show every Friday?
Well, it's pretty simple. Sex sells. No, I'm just kidding. Being here is a great thing for me, a terrible thing for you. We've always known mm-hmm. this, and mm-hmm. I'm completely comfortable with that reality. So I accepted your offer because I know that you would not stop asking me to do this. And finally, I found the time. I sectioned it off, and here we are. Didn't think there'd be a season, but happy there is, and here we go.
Kind of crazy that I'm paying you $14 million a year for 3 years for this, but that's the reality of how we try to get business done. So Brandon, obviously,
great for the economy.
It is really good. You're going to stimulate the hell out of the economy. That we all know that. Now, this is a game that I feel like Michigan should win. I know you're significantly more skeptical, but just kind of looking more broadly at the people out there that are looking at the Big Ten and looking at Michigan, you would think in a way that Michigan is going into this game with basically no talent, that this is the middle of the 2014 season with Brady Hoke leading the charge, that the coaching staff doesn't know how to do it, that they are limping into a game against Alabama. But that's really not the case, right? Like, this is still Michigan. It just maybe it isn't as good as people thought it could be, but maybe it is. We don't know. I don't know. What are your thoughts on the state of the team as we enter 2020?
Yeah, I think you summed it up great when you said, I don't know, because I really don't know because of many things. I'm not as like plugged in every day as I once was. That's a small part of it. But the big part of it is, just like the unique nature of how this whole season came about. And, the no spring ball and the lack of just preparation to be, Michigan, probably that's their edge, is that they're very prepared, as opposed to a lot of other teams. I really don't know the contrast between their preparation and Minnesota specifically, but, Michigan is one of those teams that continued practices because they were allowed to, and they didn't really give up on practicing. Again, I don't know how many teams didn't do that. Folks, I am not as tuned in every day as I once was. That's just my outside perspective. I think Michigan is going to have an edge in preparation because it's Harbaugh. He is a psycho in a good way as a coach. And I think that, they're a team that is always prepared. It's just one of those things where it's a ranked game on the road, and the old story goes type thing where everyone's kind of like, are we really going to buy into a new Harbaugh quarterback? Are we really going to think that he's going to go to Minnesota at night, a team that, despite an easy schedule, still almost ran the table last year, which is extremely hard to do. So one of those things where it's just like, I think people are resonating with like the nostalgia of the situation. Like, Michigan's not had a quarterback that's lived up to the expectations that it had for him besides like Jake Rudock. And then, it's one of those things where it's the night game on the road. It's a top 25 opponent and blah, blah, blah. The story goes on. So I think that's really why all these people have these thoughts. We don't truly know anything. These analysts might know some stuff from inside stuff, but we don't truly have an idea of what they've seen. I mean, you might, Wolverine's Wire insider guy, but I don't. So what I'm trying to say is I don't know enough to have a real like inside track on this, but from an outsider's perspective and from someone who's tried to stay up to date with everything, I think Michigan is prepared. I just think that it's one of those things where it's really hard to like convince yourself that this team and Harbaugh is going to do something again that they really haven't done consistently. So that's my thoughts on it.
I think the not knowing this, it doesn't really matter how much you profess to know at this point. It's really hard to know what this team is because we haven't, like you said, we haven't seen a spring ball. I can sit here and think all I want, right? That there's a lot of talent on this team. This team has more talent than any other that they'll be facing other than Ohio State. But at the same time, there's just so much that we don't know. And I think like there is certainly a fear on my end about going into a season without a clear idea who that other cornerback is going to be opposite Vincent Gray. We also don't know how well Vincent Gray is going to fit in as far as being the number one corner out there. But at the same time, we do know that Mike Zordich has done a really good job with the corners. We know that Michigan's got more speed than they've probably ever had on the team right now. So to me, it seems like there's a lot there that makes you think, hey, this could be really good. If Joe Milton is the guy that they've been thinking he could be, it certainly would go a long way. So it's just a matter of them putting it all together. And I think that they certainly should beat Minnesota, but weirder things have happened in football, especially this particular weird year. So with that in mind, we are going to pivot here and we are going to start talking about Minnesota specifically for the last two segments here, and just what Michigan needs to do to be able to pull out a victory. If they are to lose, what would have gone wrong? And finally, what we think is actually going to happen in this game. But before we do, there's a couple things that I have to tell you about. Justice, you're looking really, really lean lately. You've leaned out.
I mean, I weigh like 200 pounds. And when I was writing, I think I was like hovering between like, dependent, we know we fluctuate in this industry. But I was like 225, 245. So, I mean, like I've lost it, but I mean, no, I wasn't doing anything specific. I'm not like on keto. Keto's stupid. If you're listening to this and do keto, don't stop that. Unless it's like a keto ad that's coming up, then I feel really dumb. But anyway, continue.
All right. Yeah. You're derailing this completely. Now, I don't know if the way that you've gotten in shape, if it's diet, if it's exercise, but regardless, do you sometimes find it difficult sometimes it's hard to break through that personal wall that you have on a daily basis?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, guess what? Built Go is the solution to that. It makes you the best you at whatever you do. You can break through your wall, whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. Easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages, put it in your briefcase. I know you don't have a briefcase. I know you just have like a bag of candy or something, or the most focused presentation and Halloween ever. Your golf bag to power through the back nine or put it in your pocket to get through the day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5 hours of energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a Monster with a third of the caffeine and better results. There's three delicious flavors. I've had all three. I attest to them. Peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, ooh, chocolate mint, all are ooh, fantastic, all three. So how does it work so well? Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into the system fast, plus it's easy on the stomach. It's also loaded with good stuff to ignite my work, like beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Built Go then kicks to keep me going strong. It's got B6 and 10,000% of your daily necessary need of B12. And with the collagen, promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. The stuff literally makes you look better. Brandon, go visit builtgo.com. Use promo code LOCKED and you'll get 30% off of your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 30% off of your order at builtgo.com. Let's go. But guess what? After that, Brandon, I know you're going to need a little me time because you're all jacked up from the Built Go, man. What the heck, man? Just settle down.
This is how I always am.
I know, but you're just go, go, go. You're nonstop, not hustling all the time, coaching 18 baseball teams all at once, all over the country. Not to mention work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues that is just on your mind and the expectation for you to be on for 24/7. Sometimes you need to get a moment to just turn it off, hit reset. You know what time it is for you then?
What time is it?
To reach for Coors Light because it's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I am telling you, Brandon. Dude, I don't know if you know this about me, but I know you know that I don't drink anymore. But when I did, Coors Light, that's actually what I would go to if I was drinking beer. Obviously not wine.
I still do, and that's exactly what I go for. That's pretty much why I'm on the episode.
All right, good. I'm happy to hear that. Well, I want you to know that Coors Light wants you to know that no matter what sport is on this fall, Saturdays are your time to chill. So when Michigan takes the field, whether you have to wait for it to be a night game, if you're going to tune in tomorrow or tonight rather for Wisconsin, if you're going to tune in for the battle for the Situation Trophy between Rutgers and Michigan State, you know what? That's an excuse that you have to chill and drink a beer. Doesn't matter what game is playing. Coors Light is the official beer of watching any sport just to drink beer. So flip through the channels, find a game, crack open a Coors Light. Coors Light is the one that Brandon Justice chooses when he needs to unwind. So when you need to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door at get.coorslight.com. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All right, Brandon, let's move on and discuss this Minnesota game. You're not very confident that Michigan's going to come away with a victory here on Saturday. Tell me, why is it that you aren't very confident about it?
All right, well, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm not confident that they're going to win. Well, that's probably true, because I'm not confident they're going to win, but I can't say they're going to lose, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really, like 51-49, 52-48 in this game, and I do think Michigan has an edge here. So, I mean, I'm probably still going to pick them to win. But it's going to be super close because I think there's going to be a lot of points first and foremost because there's no continuity in Michigan's secondary. And, you know, all the credit in the world to Zorda. She's just an incredible position coach. She's probably been their best position coach as far as consistency goes. I mean, and seniority. I mean, he's been here forever. So, since Harbaugh got here. So, you know, like, you can definitely understand that he's probably going to get them at a higher level than they should be. But Vincent Gray wasn't that impressive on the outside last year. Granted, he's had a year at work. But, you know, like you said, I'm not entirely sure that guy's ready to be a number one, which conversely, just like how I don't know if Ronnie Bell's ready to be number one, but that's a conversation for another time. So Vincent Gray, Jamon Green, I mean, it's just one of those things where I don't know, like Andre Seldon might have to play as a freshman too, and you know, he's probably going to be good in the long run, but you're talking college football, Division I, Big Ten football. Minnesota is good. I don't think Minnesota is anything like what they were in the past. I know that a lot of people are just kind of riding the coattails off last year, but, I mean, they certainly do return a bunch of production offensively from last year, and Michigan loses a lot of it, conversely, on defense. So, you know, they have great defensive depth. They always have. I don't know if that's going to be a thing this year. I'm really worried about their interior defensive tackles and how that's going to work out. Not entirely confident in the secondary past Dax and Hawkins. And so that's just my thoughts defensively. And that's where I think, you know, Minnesota can score a lot of points. They have an extremely good quarterback, I think, in Tanner Morgan. And then Rashad Bateman is probably the best receiver in the NCAA, or at least one of the four best. I think he's the best as far as body goes. So I think Rashad Bateman is like the toughest matchup to get for a new corner or for a guy who's never had to match up with a number one, you know, at a consistent rate. And will Don Brown switch his scheme? Will Don Brown glorify man again? It's just, it weighs on a lot of things that, again, we don't know. We haven't seen what scheme they're going to roll out with, you know, defensively, or if they're going to mix it up. If it's a lot of man, then I'm pretty worried that Minnesota is going to score a lot of points. If it's a lot of zone, then, you know, I think that gives them a better chance. But that's my thoughts on it. Offensively, I think Michigan's going to have a really good day. I've liked Milton since he got here. I think you and I have had a lot of conversations about, why we think Milton's going to be that. It's not like something that just started last month. This has been going on for 2 years now. We've heard about Milton, and that amplified tenfold when Gattis came. I think if Gattis wasn't here, I think this whole McCaffrey-Milton thing might still not be figured out. You know, I think Gattis went for this whole Milton thing from the jump when he got here, just waited for him to get ready mentally and from a playbook standpoint. And I think he's at that point, quite obviously. And I don't know. I mean, hey, like, it's, again, it's another Michigan-hyped quarterback, but Milton's a little different. It's different when he's 6'6 and launches the ball 80 yards and he's not Shane Morris. So just my thoughts. That's where I'm at with it. I'm just skeptical because of the I think Michigan's offense will be fine. Really, I do. And I think that's why they win the game. Again, a lot of points. So we'll get to scores and later I'm on, I'm sure. But that's really, the skeptics come from just that no continuity in the secondary. The defense is a huge question mark. The offensive line is a huge question mark. But I trust Ed Warner to make capable offensive linemen more than I trust the secondary to be able to go out there and cover Bateman. So that's where I'm at.
Now, I share a lot of the same concerns. I'm just not as worried, I guess, about most of them. I am worried about the corners, but you know what? I think back to 2017, and I feel like I was equally as worried about Long and LeVert Hill going in until they got settled in.
But
it took a minute for that to happen.
Yeah,
and those guys were ranked a lot higher than
right.
Vincent Gray.
That's what I was going to make. Like, those guys were just a little more coveted.
But that doesn't mean anything sometimes because
they
have loved Vincent Gray since he arrived. I mean, I've been hearing it from anyone that has a key card that can get into Schembechler Hall, or anyone who knows someone who has a key card that can get into Schembechler Hall. So I feel like to some degree you have to trust that. I am not nearly as concerned about the defensive interior front. I think that is going to be just fine. I mean, when you got a 5-star guy and Chris Hinton going into his second year, you have to trust that he's going to live up to that. I thought he did a really good job against Alabama when he was finally kind of asked to go in, especially considering that, Alabama last year had probably the best offensive line in the country. No, they didn't get didn't get the penetration that you want from, that you had like with Mo Hurst and some of those guys. But when you hear them say that this is the team identity, because you know when it comes to press conferences and stuff, you and I know that it's a double-edged coin, right? Double-sided coin rather, because you can't ignore it as just being hype, right? It's because it's not just hype. You can get actual information. You can read between the lines. You can figure out a whole bunch of different stuff when it, just from just what they're trying to tell you. And when you constantly hear Jim Harbaugh say the defensive front is our team identity, when you hear that it's just, that they're doing really, really well. So far, and you've got some guys returning in Quiddy Pay and Aiden Hutchinson. And sorry, my phone's blowing up, so that got me really distracted. But you have to believe it when you keep hearing it over and over again. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. Now, as far as Don Brown is concerned, I feel like he gets a little too much hate to some degree. He certainly deserves when it comes from Ohio State. But I mean, Michigan ran more zone over the course of the year last year than they did man. They were in zone something like 56% to 44% man. So he does change things up. I would imagine that's still going to be in the cards. It all still kind of comes down to Ohio State. That's where people's feeling about Michigan is why it's so tarnished. It's all because of how these seasons end. And people were really disappointed that of how the game ended against Alabama, but I mean, it's still Ala freaking Bama, right? So I say, let all of that go. And I agree with you. The offense, I think they have so many playmakers. You might be skeptical about Ronnie Bell. I am not. I've been hearing for a while that he has been Michigan's best receiver in practice, even better than Nico Collins. People are enamored with Nico and rightly so, but I think a lot more people should be more enamored with Ronnie as well. So, but my biggest concern, because we need to wrap up this segment, my biggest concern is certainly the same for you. It's that not the whole of the secondary, because we both have faith in the Daxton Hill, Brad Hawkins combo, but definitely just having so many people at the cornerback position that we just don't know about. But that's the thing. We just don't know, because they could go out there and I'm sure that they have a chip on their shoulder. I'm sure they've heard all of this. They can go out there and prove a lot of guys wrong, a lot of people wrong about what they are capable of. Brandon, in a moment, we are going to talk about briefly about what Michigan needs to do to win the game and our final score predictions here in just a moment. All right, here we go. Let's finish this out. Last podcast, last segment of the last podcast before Michigan season opener. Tough game. Number 18, Michigan at number 21, Minnesota. Brandon, what does Michigan need to do? Just give me a couple quick things, maybe two things that are on your mind about what they need to do in order to win this game.
I think Minnesota's offensive line could be without some guys, so I think you send a lot of pressure. I don't think that that's something I need to say without understanding Don Brown's going to do it. So, but regardless, I think that's the route you have to take. That pass rush will then assist the secondary, and if the secondary is an issue, then they're getting some help there. And if it's not an issue, then great. Maybe they'll shut down Minnesota, and I'm an idiot, and they win 40-0. On the other side, I would say offensively, and again, I think this is going to happen, but I think you really just need to let things work themselves out methodically. I think a lot of people just want them to see Joe Milton drop back three steps and throw it 80 yards every play, and that's just not going to happen. I think you still have a really good running back tandem, extremely good running back tandem, actually, and I think people are kind of forgetting about that. This is a game that feels like, you know, Milton gets like one or two in, and people think, you know, whatever, but the running backs probably score a few here. You know, it's Michigan, right? Like, Gattis is going to do this whole speed and space thing, and it's going to work out well. But at the end of the day, you know, they're always, and especially in the Big Ten and college football, it's going to be methodical drives. You know, it's not going to be bombs after bombs. You don't have to, there's no Devontae Smith on the field. There's no Jalen Waddle on the field. It's just one of those things where I think expectations might be, you know, tarnished by the fact that they didn't throw 80-yard bombs every time. But that's one thing that I think could be a mistake. You know, you make the, you try and put Milton out there to make these big plays immediately, things go wrong, and it's all a momentum game. So I think you be methodical on offense, and then you send pressure to assist your back end and on defense. And I think those two things can lead you to victory for Michigan in this game.
All right. And I kind of am with you right there. I think that one of the keys is to, and you know, McGaddis talked about that on Monday on the Inside Michigan Football program. That, you know, they don't want to just be out there heaving bombs because that means that there's going to have to be a lot more time for that offensive line to protect. I think that you take what the defense gives you. I think you attack the middle of the field. Antoine Winfield Jr. is gone. That's their best player that they had, period, on their team last year. He is gone. You attack the middle of the field. You let speed and space work for you, whether it's just quick underneath routes, and obviously just misdirection. They have so many different guys that they can utilize. I'm curious to see what it looks like when they have either Haskins or Charbonnet in the backfield, as well as Chris Evans. I think you're going to see that a lot. So I say just put those weapons to use and let, and just attack the defense, like you said, methodically. On the other end, I say just don't let Rashad Bateman beat you. Make Tanner Morgan beat you with Chris Outman-Bell and whoever else that they trot out there. I think that's the key. Don't let them beat you. And obviously, keying in on the run game, we know Muhammad Ibrahim is really good. So just make sure that you don't let, really, I guess, those two guys beat you. Make the quarterback beat you with his other weapons. Keep everything in front of you as much as you can. You're going to get beat a couple times. You're just going to have to let that go and hopefully keep pace. But that's why Josh Gattis is here, right? Is so that they can keep pace with a higher scoring team, something that they could not do when the defense was lights out for most of 2018. So I think that those are the two big keys for me. Attack the middle of the field as much as you can and make sure that Rashad Bateman and Muhammad Ibrahim aren't the ones that are beating you. Make the guy under center be the one that's doing it. All right, Brandon, final score prediction. What do you got?
You know, it's going to be a lot of points. I think it'll go over for sure. So I've got Michigan putting up 42 and I've got Minnesota putting up 31. So I'll say Michigan 42, Minnesota 31. That could flip flop. But we're going to go with Michigan again. Very skeptical on what's going to happen. Wouldn't be surprised with anything. If I had to gun ahead and make a score prediction, that is my score prediction.
All right. I've been on the record that I'm eagerly anticipating this game being a tough one. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk, but at the same time, I've been saying it, and I'm going to say it again right now. Michigan is by far the most talented team on the field. They will be. They're significantly better at pretty much every position than Minnesota, but it's just so much that we don't know, so many players that we don't know, so much schematically we don't know, and that's what poses the question. I think that it's going to be a tough mid-scoring game. I think points aren't going to be at a premium, but they're not necessarily going to be as free-flowing. Based off of the fact that talent tends to win out, I have Michigan winning 28, Minnesota 27. Brandon, that'll do it. I appreciate you coming on. Next week, we'll be talking a little. Yeah.
No, you're good. Go ahead. You got it. You got it. You're on a roll. Don't want to blame you. Go.
I was going to say, we're going to be talking Battle for the Paul Bunyan Trophy next week.
Yep. Big one.
Michigan State. So regardless of what happens, good or bad, at least there should be a cleansing of the palate with a rivalry game the next week. So excited to bring you on for that next week.
Can we call that the spooky season special?
Don't call it that.
Halloween music in the background?
Yeah, don't call it that. All right, that'll do it. Follow Brandon Justice at, is it Brandon B. Justice on Twitter?
Yep.
All right.
Request to follow that stuff now.
Which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but that's out there for you. All right. We'll be talking to you again on Monday as we hopefully are discussing a Wolverines victory. Appreciate you listening. We'll talk to you then. Peace.